Well, Miles, just start from the beginning. Where did this all start on this big bank robbery, this heist on Friday at the Colonial Bank while you were in your office?
Well, come in, just your normal day, nothing expected and all. And within, I guess it was probably the late 9 o'clock hour, early 10 o'clock hour. Alan comes down. Alan, we were sitting there, and he says, "Look out there, out the window there, and there's a car parked there. Tell me if you know who this guy is or what's going on." I said, "Well, what's going on? Well, I mean, what are you talking about?" He said, "Well, this guy got out and he walked around the end of the building." The end of the building being the edge of woods, you know, sort of a, I guess if you want to go on a nature walk or something, it might be a good idea or something. He'd been walked through there a couple of times back and forth past Alan's window. He said, "Well, go in there and look. He's in his car now." And I said, "Well, don't open the blinds." I just peeked through the blinds. I saw the guy sitting there. And first thing that clued me in, the Dale Earnhardt Jr. hat.
Of course.
I said, "This guy's up to no good."
Suspicious already.
Yeah. Dale Earnhardt Jr. hat, sunglasses. He's sitting in the driver's seat, the front of his car facing out what we would call the exit of the parking lot.
He was getting ready for a getaway.
Well,
you should have known that, right?
I guess
away,
so
right?
Now. Yeah, I guess so now in retrospect. Yeah. Nobody in our office was waiting on him. Goes down to the law office. Nobody down there knew who it was. And all of a sudden, you know, it's me and Alan and a bunch of women. And we start locking doors. Like, beep, beep, beep. Everybody's locking their car, though, in the back, you know. And the back doors get bolted down and all. And we've locked ourselves in, basically, now.
He had to hear that out there.
Of course he did. We're probably looking at a time frame of, he probably sat there 20 minutes.
20 minutes.
Well, about 5 or so minutes later, I get to thinking again. I said, "Well, is this guy still sitting here?" So I look through my blinds. The car's empty. Probably within 15, 20 minutes or so later, Alan comes back down to the office. He says, "Hey, that guy just came around flying around the end of the building again. Got back. And I guess he's headed back to the car." I said, "Well, okay." I said, "Well, we saw him get in the car, and he's throwing everything in the back seat, a hat and the sunglasses. All takes time to fix his hair." I said, he said, "Let's open the blind." I said, "Giddy." I said, "No, let's don't open the blind. I don't want him to see us. Let's just peek through the blind." I said, "You get ready to write this tag number down. Let's do that."
Yeah.
This guy looks like he came flying around the building. I don't know if he's out running a dog.
Was it dawn on you there? Maybe he had robbed a bank?
It didn't hit me quite then.
Yeah.
You know, I said, "Well, there." You know, I was thinking once he drove off, maybe. But then, you know, we got the tag number and the license plate there. And I said, "Well, what do we do now?" So I immediately called Taos Police Department. And at which time I tell her, "I'm on a report." It was nothing more than a suspicious person. Suspicious person at that point, as far as I was concerned. We see that all the time on the report, you know.
And I'm sure the bank is probably dialed in as well by this point. But they didn't have the information you had. You had a tag number.
Right. And I said, "Well, I just want to, I'm telling where I'm at. I'm located 200 Executive Park Drive. Want to report a suspicious person." She says, "Okay, well, just put me on." She said, "Okay, I got another call. Just put me on hold." That might have been the call from the bank or somewhere else then. She said, and then to come back, and I waited for about 3 or so minutes. She says, "Oh, no, something just happened to one of the banks in front of me."
She's letting you know about it now.
Yeah, she says, "Let me know. Let me get your information." So I let her know. Gave her all the information, the details and all, the tag number, description of the car. They took it from there. And at that point, you know, we hear, "Oh, the bank just got robbed." Because after that, within minutes, there's police cars all around the bank. I think it's Officer Blaylock comes running by. He looked like the assault rifle, whatever he had, running around the side of the building. He'd been waiting for 6 months to get it out. Whatever he was going to shoot, he was hunting for bear. He was going down.
little late.
But he came running around. He had a good run. He had a good sprint. He looked like Hunter or something type run coming through. He had the look. And he was ready, and everything's full speed and all.
I mean, how long is this after he had actually left the building?
We're probably looking at a 10-minute time frame.
So he's already on the other side of town and out of town by now.
Probably so. Yeah, he's gone and head back to where he was. And I go back to my office and said, "Okay, well, I've done my duty and all or whatever. I've turned in the license plate and sitting there and all, and the officer and all, he's starts walking around the far side between the two banks. There's another bank there.
Yeah.
Bank trust is there.
Who knows? He might have tried to make two hits.
He did. That's what later on they said he tried to go into that bank first.
Oh.
Because I go in there and make a deposit that afternoon. And they say, "Well, they haven't even come talk to us." Later in the afternoon, I found out.
What did he do when he went in there? What did we
hear? He didn't go in there. They have their door locked and there's a drive through only.
Oh.
So he didn't go in there. I go back to where the car was parked and I said, "Well, the car was parked here," and I noticed a crumpled piece of paper lying there. I said, "Well, I go in, the officer's looking around between, he's up in the front of the building now, way up in between the two banks and in front of our office. I go around and I said, there's something around here you might want to look at. I don't know if it's just a piece of paper, a McDonald's wrapper. What is it? I said, but it, this is where he's parked.
And so you probably should be doing investigative work and let them do a count.
Well, I was CSI or cold case or something. You know, I'd probably do good on some show like that. I would think, you know, started out just bank robberies, but to be. I come in there and I got my little measuring stick out at that time and getting the tread depth and the tracks. And all, measuring out the tire and the trenches and all, and smelling the rubber and all. I got down and just bloodhound.
But so what's on the paper?
He unwraps. He's got his gloves on. I didn't touch it.
Yeah, good for you.
He unwraps. It looks like it's a Colonial Bank statement.
And it's
like you would go to the bank and get a withdrawal, like you'd fill out a withdrawal slip or say, give him.
Well, he did take a withdrawal.
Well, he did, yeah, obviously. And I didn't really, couldn't have some scribbling, scribbling, bad cursive writing in the upper left-hand corner. And it looked, at the time, it's either, I saw eights and some zeros. It was either 8,000 or 800, something in there. I didn't take time to read it. So I went on inside, and he left it. Sure enough, somebody come riding in within the minute and almost ran over it. Like the two gloves was covering them, but luckily they didn't. And
it was 8,000 though that he.
I
can't imagine he just won 800. 8,000 is kind of small too. When you think about it.
I get calls from the police department. I was wanting my statement, and then next thing I know, I'm getting a call from the FBI,
the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Right, because this is a federal offense. You rob a bank, it's a federal crime. You know, they start calling. They're coming up from Montgomery, and there's a lady sitting there, Cagney and Lacey style. She's packing heat with an extra clip. I said, well, she means business, too.
Yeah.
And she's sitting there talking to Alan, and I had to go in there and just tell what I saw, too.
Then they called him.
They called him. Oh, good. We'd
like to know the finish of this story, wouldn't we, Mac?
Yeah.
They drove. Yeah,
they called him. You knew before you went to lunch that they had called him.
Right.
And I heard, now I'm not sure how true this is, but he was in there counting money.
I don't know about that. I don't know what.
Yeah, he was in there counting the 8,000 to make sure.
I don't know if he popped a big top on a beer and should have had to relax or what. Take a deep breath. This wasn't a casual ride. Yeah,
this wasn't his home.
This wasn't a ride to get an ice
cream. So I'm wondering
bar.
If this was his girlfriend's, apparently. I wonder if she knew he was going to do it and what went into that, or he told her he just kind of did this on a whim. Apparently, he sketched it out a little bit.
Well, there has to be some significance. If what we heard was true, that he wanted just $8,000, there's got to be some significance to that. Why eight? Why not nine or seven?
Why do you do that? You do it for the money? Do you do it for the adrenaline rush? Oh, I just did it. I mean, can you imagine the rush after you try to rob somebody? Did he do it with a weapon? Did he?
They said there was no weapon involved.
Well, Max here, the constable, he knows a little bit about these things. He, you know, does security and those kind. Have you ever witnessed? Have you ever been a part of something where there was a bank robbery when you were on duty? No. Do you have any idea what kind of penalty comes? And I know we've heard some what it could be. Do you know? I mean, and it's not armed robbery, I guess, if it didn't have a weapon on it. Now
it's armed robbery.
It's armed robbery when you go on a bank. Period.
Anytime you make a threat,
anytime
probably
you make a threat of an armed robbery.
Because you're making a threat, they may not know that you're armed or not. So what are we looking at for this guy?
I keep here 15 to 20.
Could it be that much?
Class A felony would go up to 20.
He could do 20 years.
Apparently, they brought the guy back later that afternoon and wanted to recreate the trail. They brought him back out there cuffed.
Did they really?
Yeah. They say the guy confessed. You know,
he pretty much caught red-handed.
I think it was Townsley PD and Tallapoosa County Sheriff's Department went and picked him up. Went to the
because
that's Tallapoosa County, is where it wound up.
Well, I mean, if you rob a bank, I mean, I wouldn't think you'd go to the house and kick back and
where would
pop
you
a
go,
beer.
Shane?
A long way from here.
Well, you didn't get that much. I mean, you're not going to go that far on that.
Well, his thought process probably was no one has tagged him.
I'm not coming in and asking just for eight. I want everything you got.
I agree, and I would have probably come in without the Dale Earnhardt stuff on. I wouldn't want to be. I would have had a Richard Nixon mask on when I walked in there for sure.
You had Reagan or something.
Yeah, at least one of the ex-presidents.
Well, one of my wife's best stockings or something.
Yeah.
So today, and Shane pointed this out earlier, he said usually a bank robbery, at least a one-time job, they don't catch them. That's what you were saying, Shane. I mean,
statistically, I read that somewhere. It's been a few years back. But if you've never committed a crime,
and that's the only
one time, and that's the only crime you ever commit in your life,
more times than not, they don't get them.
Right.
So today, we know that this guy probably would have gotten away with it, statistics say, if it hadn't been for Miles Hathcott.
That's right. Oh, gosh. Miles is the hero.
All I did was just thinking about, hey, write the tag down. That's all I said.
You've got money in that bank. That's what you were thinking
about. Did you ever think about going and tackling the guy?
Never crossed my mind. You know, I thought I had
scared?
No. I didn't want the blinds open. I didn't want him doing that. I didn't know if the guy would start shooting in or what if he had anything. But
you wouldn't want him to know who you were. Instead, you come on the radio and tell everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, you are a local hero. Everybody knows your face.
Have you been contacted by anybody yet on this?
No. I didn't catch him. The police called him. So don't blame him. I mean, it's not me or anything.
They wouldn't have called him if it hadn't been for you getting the tag number. That's don't be so modest all of a sudden.
That's right.
I mean, if you hadn't gotten a tag number, this guy would still be on the loose.
And he'd still have your $8,000.
Yeah.
Wow.
You should be commended. And I think the city should issue some sort of citation or something.
I
think you should get a key to the city.
I mean, really, they ought to do something to the council meeting. Yeah. They give away anything.
Mac owes him a reward.
They give away.
Yeah, thanks, Mac. Yeah, they owe reward money.
Well, you'd rather have the reward money instead of some recognition. I mean, we give away keys to the city like candy here. I mean, come on, let's give away something.
Yeah, what's the lady?
Some
Ashley,
proclamation.
Is it Ashley Page? What was the lady that just came to town?
And all of a sudden, she's a hero. Yeah, Miles Hathcott Day in Tattlesee.